Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And can we have a roll call, please?
Joy Dingham, present. Stephanie Capetta, Mary Giraldo,
here.
Dennis Hurley,
present.
Julius Kwiatkowski,
here.
Eleanor Milberg,
here.
Robert Witte,
here.
Mr. Chairman, we have a quorum.
Excellent. Happy New Year to everybody. You received the copies. Claudia sent that copy of the minutes, so I'm sure you all got it. Are there any questions or comments at all?
I'm afraid my computer is up on, so is there another copy? Okay, this is the old.
I just had my.
All right, well, from your chair, I'll listen to you for you. I'm understanding something.
I make a motion, we accept the minutes.
I second it.
Okay, a motion and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, minutes approved. Thank you. Next, we have a discussion by the director of matters not on the agenda, so that is the way.
Just want to quickly, of course, with the new year, it's a new season for us, and of course, we just will start our upcoming series of programs and activities through the record department. I will email this all to you. It's our program plan. This is kind of what we do seasonally to plan and prepare for upcoming activities for the upcoming season. We're in winter spring right now, which will cover from January to May, basically, the activities and events. We started our toddler programs last week, actually, with our Little Casas program, Little Chefs, Kinder Cooks, Luncheons, Sports Luncheons, Soccer, and all those activities. We also, next week, and this week actually, we are hosting AARP Cats Aid training. They do the training at our facility for all their volunteers who would then offer that free tax assistance to residents of our community starting February 1 through tax day, which this year is April 18. They've extended it to that Monday after. We started our women's self-defense class this past week. We start our adult gymnastics, basketball and volleyball. Our Critics' Choice Dinner Club, the next one, which we've been getting a really great response. We have about averaging about 30 people that attend this now. The next one will be February 4th. This is just more of a social activity for people who want to just go out and enjoy one of the different restaurants that we have, whether it's in our city, county, or a neighboring city or county. The next one's February 4th at the Finnegan's Black Clouds. Mm-hmm. Ballroom dance actually starts tonight. We've expanded our game day social to now 2 days a week, which is on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and this is really that social activity now too. Where people just kind of get together from 12:30 to 4 o'clock on these afternoons to play card games or games of chance, those types of activities. They can bring their own game or use one of the ones that we have, cards and things. There's a group that plays pinochle, there's a group that plays bridge, there's a group that plays dominoes, mahjong, and what's that?
Hands and foot, I think.
Oh, I don't know what that one is. All kinds of activities go in there. But they actually really enjoy it and have a good time. Wood Carvers continues on Tuesdays. Pickleball started today as well, tonight, January 13th, 6 to 8. We do that twice a week on Wednesdays and Fridays. Our wellness with Chrissy, which her exercise classes really focus on seniors in the community. She does those 5 days a week at our building. And we just completed our full year schedule for our Discover Trip program. The first one coming up is Capone's Dinner and Show in Kissimmee in February. March, they're going to the Quilt Festival and Museum in Trenton, Florida. In April, we're doing going to Mount Dora and Orange Blossom Cannonball Train. It's the train that takes you from Tavares to Mount Dora. It's only actually 5 miles, the train trip, but it's that whole experience of being on the train. It takes, I think, 30 minutes or something like that, train ride. In May, we're going to the Harry P. Lee Gardens and Museum. And then we'll take the summer off. And then September, we'll start again with it's a Northern Florida Wine and Vineyard Tour. The Fall Foliage on the St. John's River Tour, which is a riverboat tour, in October. November is a Winter Garden Museum Tour. And then December, we're going to the Gaylord Palms Ice Show.
So, the museum, is that the Heritage Museum and the Trace?
Winter Garden Heritage Museum.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so.
How many people all enroll in something like that?
It really depends on the trip. When we went up to, in the fall, we went to Amelia Island for the tour up there, and we had 42 people, I think, that went. And then when we did the trip to the Jacksonville Symphony for the Holiday Pops, we had about 14. So it just really depends on the tour. And, you know, we're hoping to average with these ones about 35, and really working with the groups that meet at the community center and promoted for them, promoted for a lunch and lecture, and then obviously all the traditional avenues for advertising.
What kind of transportation you come to us?
Yeah, we do a motor coach.
Yeah. What's the average cost for something like that?
The motor coach, again, it's distance, but average is about $950 round trip.
Do you limit one bus, like 45 people, that's it? Or if you had 60 sign up, would you get 2 buses?
We have registration for the bus, and the buses actually hold about 56 people. We try not to sell out the whole bus just because it's an uncomfortable for everybody, because we haven't gotten to capacity yet on the bus, you know, and if we do, then we will look to either, depending on how many more people we have that want to go, we may use a van from the city and, you know, do that, or we, depending on how many, we might get another bus if we have an overwhelming response. So it really will be kind of a, you know, depending on the situation at the time. So those are all coming up. We also have our lunch and lecture program series scheduled for the rest of this year through May. The first one coming up is January 20th, which is next week from today. With core rehabilitation clinics are coming in, and they're going to do an understanding of fall risk and balance disorders, and they have their physical therapist that's going to come in and talk to the group about that. And then in February, SHINE is coming in, which is serving health insurance needs of seniors. The March is, we actually have a professor coming in from University of North Florida who's going to do an overview of Florida's geology and natural history, and actually bring in stuff you can touch, you know, which will be really cool about. April 20th is Hospice 101. Halifax Hospice is going to come in and just talk about, you know, hospice care. And then in May, our last one for this series will be Mr. Landon comes in and usually gives kind of a update on what's happening in the city and, you know, takes questions and all that kind of good stuff. So those are what we have coming up as far as programs, and then of course our special events. A bunch of those coming up too. First is our daddy-daughter dance in February. We'll start our Movie in the Park series in March, and that's a monthly movie, outdoors, free for families, the second Friday of every month from March to November, or October, sorry. The first one is March 11th, and we'll be showing Max. And we try to build an event around that first one to let people know that the series is starting and hand out all the information for all the upcoming ones. Our NCCA Youth Sports Clinic is Saturday, March 12th. And this is our partnership with the National Christian College Athletic Association. They come in, they hold one of their major fundraisers over at the Hammock Resort this weekend. And they really wanted to work with us to do something for the community while they're here in town. So what they do is they bring in from their local Florida colleges, their coaches and their student athletes, and they come in and do these free clinics, instructional clinics, in five different sports for the kids in the community. And it's all free, and their partner is Chick-fil-A, so Chick-fil-A brings lunch out for all the kids and all that good stuff. So that's on March 12th. We do it at Indian Trail Sports Complex and then at Palm Harbor Golf Club, because we do a golf portion of that as well. Our Food Truck Tuesday starts March 15th. That's the second Tuesday third Tuesday of every other month starting in March, and that goes through November. And these are the events that, you know, each month there's a beneficiary who receives the, we don't charge the vendors to be there, but they give us 10% of what they sell, so their sales that night. So that 10% then goes to that beneficiary, and it's a nonprofit group within the city who receives those funds. And then that group, you know, that beneficiary comes out, they help us advertise it, and then they also bring in some activities for people and the kids to enjoy while they're there, hoping to bring in more people to that event. And then, of course, our egg hunts come up in March this year. March 25th is a teen egg hunt, and then the 26th, that Saturday, is the extravaganza. Mm-hmm. And we'll probably do about 15,000 eggs this year coming up. Our pool safety day is May 29th, Memorial Day weekend. That's that Sunday. And that's where we really try to start that education process as far as the, you know, importance of teaching children and adults how to swim. Just some basic safety when being outdoors, sunscreen, all that kind of stuff. We try to promote it that way through the pool. And then the next day on Memorial Day, not the next day, but on Memorial Day itself, we offer all military, retired, or current military free admission to the pool on that day. So if they have their ID, they can come to the pool for free. And then on that same day, Monday, Memorial Day, is our ceremony that we do over at Heroes Park at 8 a.m. And that's run by our fire department. So, and then, of course, we have coming up, the end of this month, January 26th, starts our USTA Futures event over at the Tennis Center. really a huge event, really, if you think of it in the scope of things. This is one of the, and I'm not, I forget how the structure goes involved, maybe you can help me if you know it, but, you know, this is really that next step to that pro level of tennis and professional tennis. So this is a really big event for us to have here at our facility, and actually a very prestigious event. We will get probably 150 players, maybe a little bit more, from all over the world that will come here to play in this tournament. So
one of our residents, Riley, played in it last year,
right?
And he went and won.
Right, yeah. So
that's the level play in this.
Right.
This
right. Yeah. It's a very high level.
Is he the 6'4", 6'5"?
6'10".
6'10".
And still growing.
Because he won the juniors.
The junior.
Yeah. So, and it's still very young player too, so. And that's coming up at the end of this month. The information is on the Palm Coast Tennis Center website. If you're interested in going, they have a lot of free activities that go along with the tournament. I encourage you all to get out there if you can, check out a match or two, and see what's going on and really how...
because if you watch tennis on TV, you see him hit the balls and hit it hard. You go out there and watch these young guys hit it in person,
right,
and you go, wow, I play tennis. I'm not even sure if one of them was serving against the guy that even hit a ball. I mean, they're getting served at 150, 120 miles an hour, and it's pretty impressive. It's kind of like the difference between Dennis not playing golf and the guys that, playing on the third level of the tour, not even the first level.
So that's what we have coming up as far as our programs and activities. And, of course, this is all on our website, so it can be accessed that way. And then also in the weekly calendar ad that we have in the Observer, and then, of course, we distribute flyers and information. And almost every person that walks through our door to the community center and wherever else we can get the information out. We have also hired and have started our two new recreation supervisors. We hired two. One is for general recreation, the other one is for more athletics and facility management, primarily tournaments and sporting events, because we have been growing in that area as well as far as hosting those events and activities. One started the supervisor for general recreation. Her name is Crystal Long. She comes to us from Charlotte, North Carolina, and started December 4th and has jumped right in and, both feet on the ground, and she took off, so it's been great. And then Alex Boyer, who comes to us from West Virginia, started January 7th, and he's responsible for, like I said, the facility management, he'll be working directly with the tournaments and those events that come to the city, and the logistics, helping with all the logistics with all those events. So, very glad and happy to have the staff within our department. So.
Hiring somebody like Alex, is there any involved to the city taking over the tennis facility and running it himself rather than giving it to the county?
We've talked about that, and definitely have considered that. We'll continue to do that. So, the golf and tennis, I think, has, well, at least on the golf side, and what we've done is created the evaluation team, which Bob is a part of the tennis evaluation team, and we also have a golf evaluation team. And every other month, this team goes out and we have an evaluation form that we created, and they evaluate both facilities and the physical facility, but also, the activities and, the customer service, that kind of stuff. And we ask for their opinions and evaluation in those areas as well. So I think from that respect, I lead the golf evaluation team, and Roxy Gonzalez, who's in our department, oversees the tennis. The conditions at the course have improved greatly on the golf side, and that was one of the biggest concerns that we had, a year ago when we selected Kemper again to come back and manage our facility. And that's improved. If anybody's been out there lately at the golf course, but when we went out initially, before we went out to bid, probably about a year and a half ago, there were weeds in the greens and the tees, which is just not good on the golf course. And now you go out there and that is gone. A lot of the problem areas that have come back and have been, the maintenance has just increased tremendously there. So, And the tennis center, there really wasn't anything wrong with the physical structure, but for us, it wasn't so much the physical part of the facility over there. It was bringing in people from outside, you know, and not necessarily from outside, meaning from, you know, the tri-state region, but more from Palm Coast, so that people know that this facility is a public facility and they have access to it. So we're working real hard now with the tennis to try to really get them moving in that direction to bring in the public and making them aware that, both facilities are open for all to utilize. And we're doing that. The Masters Golf Program, which just started, which, you know, from what I've been told, has had a pretty good response to it. And this is a program that is more geared, maybe not to those seasoned players, but maybe beginners or players who maybe haven't played for a while, to get people back into the game of tennis, and primarily senior players. They're also starting a program for tennis in the schools. So they will go in and work with at least one school this year, and all the kids through the phys ed program do a tennis program in that school. So they will touch as many kids as go to that school. So last year when they did it for golf, it was 1,000 kids that they were able to touch and get information to. And then they have basically a step program within that structure. So they start in the phys ed class, then they do an after school program for those kids who went there and have an interest and want to continue, so they do something directly at the school with those kids. And then that next step would be bringing them over to the tennis center and getting that experience there. And so, you know, they did that with golf last year, and that went very well. And they don't, it's not just you go out there and you hit a ball. There's games and activities that revolve around the skill of the sport, but don't necessarily look like the sport.
They make it fun.
Exactly. So, they're starting that, I think it's this month or next month that they will be getting into the schools with the tennis program, and then continuing that. The golf started in one school last year. They're going into three schools this year, so they'll start with tennis in one school this year, and then hopefully expand that future. So, you know, working real hard to try to get out there more. You know, we're working with them and pushing them real hard to start doing it. You'll see them at more of our events.
I have seen an increase of taking lessons and kids. I mean, they have Alex is great with kids. They've got a lot of patience, and it just seems to be going well.
Yeah, and so we're trying to work.
I still want to see the signs change.
Yeah. You know what? I thought of that yesterday, and I thought I got to get back on that because I did mention it once already. So, but yeah, we'll definitely do that. So, you know, and I think, you know, we're heading in the right direction. If anybody has access to a computer and internet, yesterday Kemper gave a presentation to City Council. You would be able to hear it. Go back and listen to that recording. It's right at the very beginning of the meeting, so you won't have to, you know, listen through all the other stuff if you don't want to. But definitely, you know, if you have an interest in that, I would encourage you to go ahead and listen to that that presentation. So I think that concludes my report.
Will there ever be a place to have pickleball inside?
I don't know yet. I mean, possibly. I don't know if we would ever, you know, have a gymnasium that the city owns that we would do it. I can't say that. I think in the future that could happen. But in the short term, it's something we could look at maybe doing in one of the gyms at the schools.
Yeah.
And look into that direction. And now that we have somebody that could focus on that, I could say, Alex, you need to start looking into this.
That would be great.
Yeah.
It's hot.
Yes, definitely. Do you go out there on...
I have a friend that goes in Tallahassee, and she tells me how wonderful it is. And then I talked to her a couple weeks ago, and she I found out that they have it inside, which makes a big difference.
Oh, yeah.
Than being on the outside.
Right. Well, right now it's a great time to go because it's a lot cooler. Cool. Although today might be a little too chilly.
Yeah.
But you know that this time of the year would be a great time to try it. And we have the equipment when we do the scheduled pickleball, which is on Wednesday evenings from 6 to 8, Fridays from 11 to 1. We provide the equipment. So we have the paddles and the nets and the balls and everything, and we take it out there. So if you don't have to buy anything to go and play. If you want to go out and just try it, that's a great opportunity, and there's no cost to it. So, and then we're going to be looking at doing some tournaments, too, leading up to senior games in September to really build that interest in that.
Where do they do the pickleball?
At Belter Park, at the tennis courts, and then once Holland Park opens, then we're doing dual lines on two of the courts over there as well. So Belter Park we just resurfaced and repainted, and when we repainted the lines, we put dual lines for pickleball and tennis, and then we actually did the center court for the U10 tennis program. So, and we're doing that at Holland Park as well.
When? How's the Holland Park project coming?
It is moving forward. From what I understand, they've gotten all the underground stuff pretty much done, which was a lot of the drainage and getting ready for the parking and expansion. And then now we should start seeing things above ground. So, I think that you kind of just see it all.
What kind of time frame you got?
Still looking at March, April time frame. So,
my other question is, I got an email from the city clerk about sunshine law.
Mm-hmm.
Does everybody know about that?
Open that up for the ladies. Yes.
What's that?
Open that up. I got that on my agenda.
Oh, okay.
We'll talk about that. I have a couple questions on the program report. That question is actually a comment. It's amazing how in Florida you can do all these events outside.
Yeah.
I mean, coming from the north and having a whole day youth spectacle where a group comes in with these college kids and teaching them in March, and the other things you have in March, the tennis program, where up north everything closes down,
yeah.
And it's March or April before you can even think of opening a ball field up. The point I'm trying to make is we have such a comprehensive program, all ages, that goes 12 months a year. And I'm glad you have, and you consider full staff, I'm glad you have that because that's needed.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad you got someone just for athletics too, because that seems to be growing and with the CD games and everything else. My other comment is pickleball is really, really growing all around, so if we stick with it, we're going to have a really good program here too once the people learn more about it, because it goes above the same idea with the Masters Tennis. All the people or people aren't that good at tennis, but the pickleball, they can still feel the same feeling they had, the competitiveness sitting all over the net. Masters Tennis, that's a great idea we did do, because in golf we always have these teams you can move forward when you play.
Mm-hmm.
That just keeps us keep going, because they don't have to play with the young men. So Masters Tennis is a great idea. This pickleball is really does good. So any other questions or comments for Gwen?
I don't know if it's in the agenda here appropriate, but have we heard anything about movement about the yacht club and its ultimate designation in terms of what its use would be?
Got an email today that there was confirmation that it sold to a private restaurant. So I assume it's going to be some form or fashion of a restaurant. So.
Not going to be a senior center.
Yeah, well, I had heard that it was going to be, as much as I was interested. I heard really from an objective person that it was not the ideal center for the kinds of things we would envision.
You're talking about
Palm Coast Yacht Club.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, I was 100% behind it, but then I went over there, and it is really not very central. It's a pretty good distance to get people to get there.
Well, it's been sold, you know, so it's, I saw an email today that it was confirmed that the property has been sold to a private business restaurant. Not sure if it's going to be some sort of like a hall type of a facility or an actual restaurant. That part I don't know.
Yeah, talking about Holland Park, at one time we were talking about the dog park and bricks. Where is that?
Well, once we get it open, we're going to move forward. There didn't seem to be any reason not to do it when I brought it here. So we'll manage it the same way we basically do the Children's Memorial Garden, and, you know, but we'll just have one size for it rather than options for it. So, and when we get closer to actually opening and having that available, then we'll start advertising that for people.
So. And just one more, the old tennis club, I seen given a contract, but somebody told me, I said, go to the town. Done anything? No. No, that's not going to be a whatever it is you're going to. Someone told me they're going to McDonald's.
I
can't imagine.
I'm sure there's a rumor mill out there. I honestly haven't asked about that property for a long time. So I'd have to ask and find out if there's been any movement on it, actually.
But no public.
The city is not purchasing it.
That's
so. at least I haven't been told that the city is going to purchase it. So, I'm sure it's another private.
At least I don't see.
Next on the agenda, which we put on about a year and a half ago, is report by ourselves on any events or programs we've attended. The reason we did this about a year and a half, maybe 2 years ago now, is for us to get out there and really see what Lance's talking about and what the people are enjoying out in the field, in the gyms, at the pool, day camps, etc. And then just bring it back so we can discuss it and get you a view of what you thought of it. So does anybody have anything they've seen since our last meeting that they'd like to talk about?
I went to the Starlight Parade. That was wonderful. I love the chief's commentary.
I went a few nights for the lights. I saw you there one night. And boy, it's getting better and better. And I think one of the reasons it's better and better, there's a great backdrop now with City Hall right behind you. You have the City Center building to the right looking at the stage. But that backdrop just gives it a feeling of a plaza type of effect, you know, like a park in a plaza.
Before it was sort of a little
bit. It's just open. So
now it's helping.
The more buildings that go around, it gives it a nice, the enclosed-in homey feel.
Right.
I really like the helicopter. That's still the best one. When I was there one night, it's entertainment. Like, we have the entertainment. Are there lights that shine onto that brick area?
There could be. We have portable lights that we can put up, but we don't do it just because it kind of takes away from the other lights around it. So there's always been that should we, shouldn't we kind of a thing, and, you know, most times we opt not to. The city does two events as part of that whole month-long fancy light display, and the first event we do is the tree lighting ceremony, which is the opening night, which is traditionally December 1st, but this year it was November 30th because December 1st was a city council meeting, however that worked. And that's where, you know, we work with the Rotary, who hosts that event for the month, to, you know, do the tree lighting, and then they kick off the whole fancy light display, and then we have Santa that comes in, and some vendors there, and then we do the entertainment type of thing. So, and then the next event we do is a starlight event or parade. And, you know, it's kind of tricky with that. and like I said, we kind of go back and forth of whether we should and we shouldn't, and there's, you know, both sides of the coin where you can't see anybody, but then you don't want to take away from the light display, so that's kind of where we are with that.
Yeah, it seemed to be just that hour where it first started to get dark, and they were still performing, the kids were dancing, and it just lost it a little bit. But for that hour, I can understand how long.
Yeah, so, you know, there might be something we can do, kind of low-level lighting or something, you know, that to try to offset that. You know, maybe not have the bright spotlights, but do something.
Well, that one was excellent, and I also went to the last food truck night. That was really, really good, so that's very popular.
Yep. And we'll be doing those on the road from now on Park Avenue here around City Hall. Actually, it's that side. It went really well. Very well received by the community. We really get a really nice turnout. And the beneficiaries have been averaging anywhere probably from $800 to $1,000, you know, from that night participation.
How does a nonprofit apply to be a beneficiary?
Well, we're actually going to start with an application process this year, so we're developing that right now. And then really, they just need to get in touch with me, and we'll send them the application. You know, we're going to actually developing the guidelines and all that now in the off season to be ready for that kickoff. So, and that's a little different process because, you know, when we first started, it wasn't, sure, but now it's really becoming popular, and I have a lot of different groups that have called me already saying, how do we get to be a part of this? So, that's a very good sign because that means more people are learning about it and knowing what it's all about, which is a good thing. So,
anything else on that part of the okay? Moving on to old business. The only old business I have is we sent that senior center memo. Any reaction from anybody? Also, an old business, a couple of you were not here at the last meeting and it wasn't reflected in the minutes, but we have the dates, the calendar dates for this year. I'll read them up if you want to jot them down. Next meeting will be March 9th, then May 11th, then July 13th, September 14th, and November 9th. Those are all Wednesdays. Of course, we can vote to change any of those if something comes up. We've done that for cultural arts things in the past too, but those are our dates for this 2016. Any other old business? Any new business? Yes, sir.
That's a new business, and I'm sure you can guess it from my coach. Have you seen the Blue Jays on my coat?
What did you see?
The Blue Jays? So you should think of the Birds of a Feather Fest. It's coming up. It's the first weekend of February. So they've planned a great lineup of events again, and I hope you'll all come out and attend something, whether you go on a trip, walk through the expo, take a class. They'll have photography, birding, and different types of classes. So it should be terrific. My husband's the founder and runs it, so of course I'm a fan. That's coming up. So if you'd like to volunteer, I know they're always looking for volunteers, but if you'd like to just come and take a bigger bird walk, or I'm teaching the eBird apps class and a warbler identification class and doing some bird walks, so I'll just see you there. And all the info is on our website, and it gives you the full schedule of activities that go along with that birding festival. So
I do have to say, as a volunteer last year for the whole weekend, this fest in Palm Coast very proud. So it was the first attending, especially your husband and the whole committee. Every part of it, the Friday, the Saturday, the Sunday, the tours, and over at the Hilton with the guest speaker, and all the things that were going on, little bus trips down to see birds down a little more south and come back. For the first time, of course, there's little problems, but it was coordinated very well. We had a very, very good crowd because there were some birds in this area that actually you could see in Central Florida, so we had a lot of people coming from the Orlando area over. And I personally expect that it'll get bigger this year.
So. Definitely. We had some people from out of town last year from Canada, from Ohio, from New York. This year, Jason tells me there's someone from Mexico.
Any other new business? Yes, go ahead.
I got an email from the city clerk about pending sunshine law. The Lord is going to speak to us about that. Well, we got to do what we can to. Is everybody aware of that?
Everybody should have got me.
It's actually two sessions.
It's mandated, right?
No, it's not mandated. You don't have to attend. I asked them to send it to you all just so if you have the opportunity to attend the training. I thought it would be good to attend and understand as a member of the board, you know, the Sunshine Law, the, you know, all that, good government and sunshine, and like Joel says, what you can and can't do. And even just talking to each other outside of this room as a member of Leisure Services. So I asked her to go ahead and send it to you. It is not mandatory, but highly recommended that you consider attending. So.
And Virginia told me that they will try to record it. So if they'll try to record the workshop. So if they're able to record it, then those of us like me can be there, but can listen afterwards.
Right. So.
Can't be there because it's certain pay in job.
They pay me.
Any other new business? Or any discussion, anything not on the agenda?
I'm happy to announce that the groundbreaking for the new art center is going to be February the 11th, starting phase one at 4 o'clock. Everybody's invited. Be a big splash in the newspapers, everybody will know about that. And also we hope to have the phase one completed by May the 1st, so we're going to have the Jacksonville Symphony here.
What is phase one?
What's that?
What does phase one entail?
It's a pavilion with a roof and a stage. And also on a sad note, Dennis, did you read this?
Sure. Having been a member of the Palm Coast Leisure Service Advisory Council for the past 16 years, have provided a lot of amenities for the people of Palm Coast in the parks and recreation. So at this time, I think it's time for me to step down and give someone else with new ideas and outlooks a chance to serve on the council. Therefore, I will not be seeking a fourth term on the board. It was my privilege and honor to work with you with such a great board and staff at the side by you.
I have a lot of things coming up. This groundbreaking ceremony, plus we're going to groundbreak for the new Mosquito Center. And also I'm going to be running my fourth term on mosquito control. So if you see my name on the ballot, you met me. It's been a pleasure and an honor to work with you.
Thank you for
16 years? That's amazing.
Yeah. Jules has seen a lot of people. But Jules, since I've known you, you're very professional. Always at the meetings, always have something concrete to say. This is just a sign of how professional you are to bring it up at this meeting rather than just walk away. Because you wouldn't do that. 16 years, and you've been on other committees, so you know how they work. So good luck. We'll miss you.
Thank you. I think my expires in March.
Is it March? I don't know.
Okay,
sure.
Yeah, well,
I think
you can get it
from the bottom. I'll get it. Will you be at the March meeting?
Yeah, probably. Okay. If possible, I'd like to send that sunshine book.
Yeah, absolutely. Just make, if you have to RSVP, because I think they're doing lunch, so just call or, you know, reply to Virginia to let her know.
Okay, next we have public.
I have some.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
This is probably totally irrelevant but to this committee, but it is my comment and my statement. It took me 40 minutes to get here. There are no signs. There's nothing. There's not even a sign at the end of the road that says City Hall. I mean, I had to drive around and around, and I know it's not so relevant to leisure activities, but for a city this size, and you know, we can't get to leisure activities if we can't find the place. And I'd like the city council to say this include plenty of signs for things two miles down the road. I just don't get it. I just don't understand, but that's my comment. I wish we could, let's see, have more new ways to find places here.
Okay. I think the signs are new signs. I think they are, because we've talked about, you know, directional signs for here, and I know they've been talking about wayfinding signs as well for parks and things of that nature, so.
When I drove down here, it said, there's a building over there, there's a building here, and it didn't even point an arrow, and I don't know how to get there. I just don't understand how people can stick a sign up.
Keep it secret.
No, we're definitely looking into
it. It's like if they don't know about it, they can't come. Well, if they can't find it, they can't come either. So, anyway, thank you for listening.
Sure.
Well, the first time I looked at Central Park, and that was quite a while ago. I don't know how to get here, so I don't look for signs.
Right.
But I never really noticed something right in my face that's, you know, like Bulldog Drive, is there a sign you have to point you in?
No.
So that's an entrance straight into to the city wall.
And Lake Avenue must be a new street because it's not on my GPS.
Isn't
it? Google Maps or something.
Yeah, the city hall address is not yet on Google Maps for people to find. And actually, if you've come in off of Royal Palms or Old Kings and you've come past Imagine School, the street where Imagine is Lake Avenue. And it connects with this Lake Avenue, but there's their Lake Avenue, our Lake Avenue, but nothing in the middle. So when people are putting in Lake Avenue, they're getting, you know, something over there. And so I know they're trying to work with Google to get that worked out as well, you know, for people.
Well, I came down Culvert, and there's no entrance from Culvert except my GPS to Lakeview, and it said to turn left, so anyway.
The signage thing is something that I know everybody's aware of, and I know they're working on getting signage and getting people here, so.
And this may be extra, but in support, it would be good if they had an assigned preferred route, because I know how to get here, but I had an interesting experience last time, because part of it is Old Kings Road is absolutely dark. There's no light, there's no signs, and of course my car decided to test what kind of metal I made of. Because all the lights on my dash started.
Oh.
And there wasn't anybody there. It stopped for about 10 minutes, gathering that the fuse of the car was going to explode. But it would be a good idea, helpful, to have in one of the papers or somewhere, preferred route to the new town hall, and give a list of things for preferred route when the board meets.
This is probably a flagrant
you should really have signs, isn't it?
Well, it depends on what road it's on. So there's, it could be state, it could be county, it could be city. It just depends on where the signage is, what road, and all that good stuff. So, but I know they're working on it. I'll try to have an update for you all for the next meeting. Hopefully I'll be able to say the signs are up. Hopefully you saw them. And hopefully that will be my update.
One thing I forgot, that's probably should be a new business, but is... our schedule for the cultural arts grants, applications usually the beginning of the year at some point in January, right?
No, we don't do the applications until July. We give them to July to probably the end of August. You guys pick them up at the end of August, do your evaluation, and then we discuss them at the September meeting. And then it goes to City Council, October, for approval.
Yeah. Last year we had a second cycle because we didn't review some money. So
right.
We addressed them in January, February.
Right, that's why. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was. Yeah. That's, so we're just going to do the normal course of events this year.
Yeah, yeah. As far as right now, I didn't, I'm not sure if we, I'll have to look at the funding and see if actually there was anything because I think we had 10 organizations. I can't remember actually. It seems like that was eons ago. So I'll go back and look and see, you know, financially if there was any funds left to do a second round and then see if that's the direction we'll go or not. So, but I think only one organization has called me after the deadline that didn't get their application in. Usually I'll have several calls, you know, from people, but this time I didn't have one, so.
Okay, like I said, there's no public participation.
I know the lights went off in the big room.
So, we can get a motion to adjourn.
Make a motion to adjourn.
Motion. And we have a second, all in favor. We are adjourned.